What do you mean hit it?
Hit it.
Is he going to sing something?
Let's go.
The Rash Pinball. The freshest of the fresh.
Delicious soup edition. Pin Stadium Neo Fusion Adams Deluxe.
Extreme, extreme, extreme.
You can be blind for $399.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 3, Episode 10, officially the finale of Season 3 of the Fresh Pinball Podcast. And away we go. We are live at the revamped Kyle Basement.
Fresh Pinball.
Man, fresh pinball delivery.
You want to talk about fresh. We went from Stern Elvira House of Horrors. Awesome game. Spooky. Total Nuclear Annihilation, Rob Zombie, Spook Show, and those were the three lonely games whenever
I guess also when we say these things, we're like, oh, this poor guy, he's got like three solid games in his house. Like some people only.
But it felt...
I've heard that swapped out Safari's not here right now.
I've also heard like there's people in like Indiana and places like that that have like... one pinball. Oh,
one game?
Oh, womp womp.
That's sad. Peasants. So games added, Kyle, to the basement. You upgraded from the Foo Fighters Pro to the Foo Fighters Premium.
Foo Fighters.
The expression lights. It's flashing at me right now. Looks so sexy over there with the dead post. Yeah. Nice addition there. So then Elvira, obviously still here. And then a little bit of Williams love. Got Hurricane.
Yeah, I was thinking this lineup needed some bad 90s so excited. Williams.
I'm so excited. It's been a long while since I had
little Python Angelo down there. Digging it. So then we reconfigured everything now to a spooky row. So
it only made sense.
Rob Zombie and TNA in the spooky row. Bookending. Ultraman.
Yes.
And Rick and Morty.
Ugh. Yeah.
It's looking good. So good. Over there. Looking so good.
I've only been trying to pry that from Zach's hands.
You're just lucky it's getting cold.
That's exactly it.
I want to park in the garage.
Yeah. The cars need to come inside.
If you're cold, they're cold.
That's true.
Yes. Bring them into Kyle's basement. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. All right, we'll go around the table here briefly and see how everybody's doing, how we're feeling. Across the table from me, we have Corbin Angeli. Corbin!
Doing good.
How are we feeling, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just, you know, carrying some pinballs around, dragging it around in the snow. Nothing
You've
new.
You've been a busy beaver this week, though, moving some pinball around, doing some work on the Mad Pinball showroom.
Yeah.
Playing with some electric, doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yep. Fun stuff.
Never stopping. And sitting to Corbin's left, we have Zach Angeli. Zach!
Flipping fantastic.
I had no
doubt. Just hanging out with my pinball pals.
I'm going to have to like rename you Mr. Flipping Fantastic. The next batch of Mad Pinball shirts, we'll get a one of one that just says Mr. Flipping Fantastic.
I can't wait.
Back. We have a first mate. We have Flipping Fantastic.
We are going to have some serious container talk this week. We've got some real information coming. I know for those inquiring minds that need to know. And to my right, in his pinball palace and Kyle's revamped game room, Kyle?
Balls up, baby.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm flipping... flabbergasted.
You should be flipping flabbergasted. This is amazing. This is such an awesome upgrade.
It's like, can I get that Foo Fighters that I don't quite own yet? All right.
Bring me some games, people. All right, let's kick this baby off here with a little bit of the fact check. So we're going to start with No Good Gophers. So Corbin had acquired a No Good Gophers in trade.
Yeah.
And since he didn't have room, it fortunately came to me. And I've gotten to put some time on it.
Yeah.
So after the last podcast, I've made it all the way through to the wizard mode. And I am typically not wizard mode guy because average pinball player at best. But as Kyle and I were discussing earlier today... Yeah, it's definitely, you know, that era of Bally Williams aren't the deepest of the deep games, so it's very obtainable.
Which is nice.
It is nice.
It is nice.
And so you had also sent me that link to the extended kit. And I'm curious, too. And I don't know. Have you seen the extended one?
No, but
I'm curious if any of our listeners have ever, if anyone's ever played it. Like, I read the thread, but I just feel like there's not a whole lot of them out there yet. I think it's like a $2,000. It's kind of like a $2,000 kit. It's similar to the
Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy's. It upgrades it to like an LCD, a bigger
the whirlwind
display,
situation, or whirlwind, the Bride of Pinball.
Black Rose, I think, has one.
Yeah, that's why I was going to mention. I saw a Black Rose one for sale.
I'm kind of curious about it. I don't know, and I need to play Noga Gophers to see. It might be kind of fun to do.
So you came over the one Friday morning, Corbin, and we played a little bit. I mean, again, very obtainable wizard mode where you make it through all nine holes, so on and so forth. Some of the fun things, obviously, I've found on it is the jump ramp is awesome. That slams down on the play field.
Is it the same as Toy Story? I mean, does it feel very similar?
Yes, I can.
Yes.
Okay, just curious, because everyone says that, and I've not had I mean, I played it.
So, like, the Duke Kaboom ramp on Toy Story comes up from the play field, and it has, you know, a post that can come up on either side.
You're pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a
Kaboom!
Toy Story 4.
Toy Story 4.
Kyle plays it once, he's an expert.
Whereas on No Good Gophers, the ramp is above the play field at all times, and whenever it is activated, the same way the Duke Kaboom ramp is by the in-lane switches on your left-hand side, it then slams down onto the play field, and then you hit it. So if you hit it, then you're trying to, you can have two shots you can go for, the same sort of loop that you get on the Duke Kaboom ramp, or the hole-in-one shot, which is fantastic, because you hit the hole-in-one shot, now you're on to hole two, hole three, hole four, whatever. But the shots on it are definitely, you know, Lawler classic sort of flow, fun. You know, you've got the spinning disc on there, the same as you have on Toy Story 4, some other funness on there. You've got what the two gophers themselves, Mr. Buzz and Mr.
Bud
and Buzz, I think they are. So lots of fun to be had on there, but I've been having a good time with that one. Seeing, I had no idea that 2.0 code even or kit existed until
it's on sale at from Planetary for like $1,600 right now.
On sale,
it replaces
sale.
The DMD with the LCD. And
Yeah. I think it actually runs off of a, was it a Raspberry or a multi-board Raspberry Pi or something?
I think it was a Raspberry Pi on that one. All right, fact check item number two. This was emailed into us about our topic of macaroni and cheese. What is defined as macaroni and cheese?
Yeah.
So the listener said that macaroni and cheese is not defined by the noodle, but by the type of cheese that is in it.
So what type of cheese?
It has to be some version of cheddar cheese in order for it to be mac and cheese.
No. It what can't if it be, has like pepper jack
who
in it,
is,
but
is
there's
this
also
person
cheddar.
A chef?
I didn't ask for credentials.
I need like,
did they work at the USDA?
Did they send you a sample that you didn't share with us? Is there a sample somewhere?
Are you asking, was there a sample? And I've already eaten it?
I assume you've already eaten it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you did.
That's what I was told. I was told that it is not the type of noodle that mac and cheese can be any noodle, but it has to be a version of cheddar cheese.
Some cheddar, because there could be some other kinds.
Of course, you can mix in some other things. But if you have Alfredo, then all of a sudden, that's not, like, if you have a spaghetti noodle or a fettuccine noodle, and then you put Alfredo on it, that's not mac and cheese.
Well, no,
it's Alfredo.
Exactly.
It's Alfredo sauce, but it's just not cheese.
It's Parmesan, but
Parmesan, yes.
No, I'm fine with that. I agree. It has to have some kind of a yellow.
So
cheese,
you can have some elbow noodles. Yeah. You can have some spirals.
Or if
you're
using
fettuccine, some penne.
I feel like using fettuccine. Cheese.
Fuck. I think we can bring it into spaghetti at this point. Even.
Oh like, man.
Why
if
not?
You had spaghetti and you just put
it.
The cheese on it.
Yeah.
It's
why
still
not?
Mac and cheese. Yeah.
Mac and cheese.
Totally.
Right?
I've had some.
It's like those Kraft mac and cheese dino shapes. You know, it's still Kraft mac and cheese.
Yeah. Dude, the shapes catch the cheese better.
Yeah.
I've had some dark times in my life where there haven't been a lot of groceries in the cabinet. I don't think I've ever done mac and cheese with spaghetti, so that would be even a little bit of a left turn for me.
I bet the boys would eat it, no problem.
I'm kind of tempted by it.
Right?
I'm gonna make it this weekend.
All right, so follow-up fact check item here. You know, let's just go straight into some container talk.
We're really excited about this. He's been building up all night.
So this was definitely from the last episode, the thing that I got the most responses, messages, and just people that were literally laughing their asses off of Kyle saying that he's not ready to be I'm not ready to be a first mate. And,
no, no, no. good.
People were having a good time with that. So I felt underprepared for how deep the container talk conversation went last time. Shit. So I did some more research. That way I can answer a lot more of the questions that you fine gentlemen and the listeners may have.
Game on.
About cargo ships. So let's start with the biggest question of how many containers will fit on a cargo ship.
Full size.
What, a standard.
What's a standard container?
So the ship that we were looking at that was once 19 million and now on sale for 16 million.
Whoa. This is our 2008, right?
What's it christened?
What's this 2008?
It has no name. Oh, like, we can name it.
If we're paying that money, we're paying.
I wonder what it was. It's the SS Gary Stern. Come on. Yeah, you guys USS, know this.
USS.
USS
Gary Stern.
Okay.
Obviously.
USS obviously. Gary Stern, for sure.
So, that ship, how many containers, Corbin, do you think that that ship can hold?
Are we going with standard size container?
Yes. That yes. specific ship, standard size container.
Okay. And mind you, one container can hold 33 Barrios barbecues.
No, no, Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels.
Oh, Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels. 33 Hot Wheels can fit in one container.
That's an important thing to know whenever you're putting out flyers.
34 is too much.
You had said it's way more than we thought, so I'm going to guess high. I'm going to go, you can get maybe 1,500 containers on there.
Okay. Corbin's guessing 1,500 containers on our cargo ship. Zach?
I'm guessing like 100,000.
100,000 containers?
Yeah. Okay, okay.
A lot.
It seems like a lot.
That might be too
Corbin
much.
With a small number. Zach with a big number. Kyle? You can see my notes, but don't cheat.
Oh, I can't read. So
I can't read.
Appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm going to go 300.
300.
Super yes. low.
So our specific cargo ship, which is an average size cargo
ship. Our 2008.
2008. The SS, standard size.
The SSGS.
Got 750.
15,000 containers on our cargo ship.
15,000?
15,000 containers.
God,
wow. A lot of containers.
So a small cargo ship, which since the $16 million price tag is a little high, you can get 3,000 containers onto a small cargo ship. But our specific one, which is an average size, it is 15,000 containers.
This isn't really average, though.
Yes, of course. Come on. It's an average size container ship. All right. So important things to know about these container ships are you have a captain, you have a chief mate, a second mate, and a third mate, chief engineer, and then first through third engineer. So I feel like I need to assign some positions here. Kyle needs to be, I think, chief mate.
No.
Is he ready?
Zach needs to be chief engineer. I mean, it just adds up. Corbin's the captain.
Okay.
And then I'll just be like the janitor, like I can be what? In charge of like cleaning the toilets. Or...
We need a chef, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can be, you know,
dude,
the
you
cook.
Know how
we're being hungry out on those high seas.
So Corbin runs the ship.
Yeah.
Zach... It's like, this shit's broken and tells me what to do.
Correct.
And then you're just like taking a shit somewhere.
Yes, essentially.
Business as usual.
Yes, this is
a little stinker tinker time.
This
you
is
know?
How this all works.
That's almost 500,000 Hot Wheels.
That's a lot of Hot Wheels.
We should put that on.
Could they make that many?
So we need to do the calculations at some point, though, of what is the charge per container that you charge. And then times 15,000 containers. I think to Zach's point earlier, you could very quickly repay the cost of this cargo ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's where the rolling costs really start to add up. So even if after you have the ship for $16 million, each one of those positions that I was referring to make between $80,000 a year and $150,000 a year.
That's a lot of Dramamine.
It's a lot of nausea bands.
One container because one's going to be dedicated to Kyle's motion sickness crap stuff.
So you're talking about captain, then first chief mate.
Can you run it with four people?
Oh, I mean, not an average size container ship. We'd have to downgrade to a small container
What's
ship.
What's the price on one of those run?
We're probably going to have to figure that out. I mean, because I think
that might be more realistic.
The 16 mil might be out of our reach.
I mean, we can put like 100.
I saw something interesting on cargo ships too.
Stern's going to sponsor us. I mean,
how they run on diesel fuel mainly in port, and then when they get in the high seas, they switch over to like a fuel oil type.
Really?
Yeah.
And I wonder what the reasoning for that is.
It was cheaper to run the other shit.
Hell yeah.
I don't remember.
In international waters, it's not illegal.
Yeah, no, we can do anything we want out here.
No CO law.
Yeah.
For sure.
Interesting.
Let's get some sales or something to sell that shit.
Pop up a couple sales.
Wind powered.
So as Kyle and Corbin alluded to earlier, we saw the flyer from American Pinball's Hot Wheels, and you can fit 33 of those into one 20-foot container, which is a standard size
container. When I was looking at that, it's like interesting information to
put on a flyer.
Yeah.
It's like that's something that you need to know at a quick glance.
Do you think that...
they've ever filled a container of Hot Wheels?
Well, I'm sure they had to ship overseas to multiple people, but like...
All at once?
For one customer, that's what I'm wondering. If one person's ever bought 33 Hot Wheels.
33. Not 34. You can only fit 33. Somebody's
like, I need 34, and they're like, dude, just get one less. The container's a better deal.
I tell you.
Or they're at like 30, and they're like, get three more. It's a better deal.
So last item I have here during the container conversation.
Is that the same you could fit in a truck then?
I'm trying 50, to think. So no, because a semi-truck goes 53. 53 feet.
I'm trying to think how many we can fit in there.
So 20?
So we did a whole load.
The only time we had to split a load, I think, was the Jersey Jack games.
Yes, correct.
Stern zone.
But those go on full-size pallets, whereas Stern can go three wide.
Yeah.
Which I saw a Kerry Hardy video. He was down at Turner Pinball in San Antonio, and Chris was saying that they also palletize theirs. That way you could go three wide inside a standard container. That
this makes sense.
It does make a ton of sense. Yeah. Which they are cranking those games out, too. I've been seeing those landing and people being happy about that. So if you're out there and you're waiting on your Ninja Eclipse, they're coming. They have officially sold out in terms of all of them being deposited between Turner Pinball and the distributors that they've brought on board. Us, Mad Pinball, we do have one spot remaining. So if someone wants a Ninja Eclipse, get at Corbin@MadPinball.com. Or Jeff at Mad Pinball, and we can get you hooked up.
So you can
up.
Literally buy one slot right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I have one slot. We have one slot that is ours to be sold that's not spoken for yet. So if you're out
there. As their top distributor in the world.
No kidding. We were in early, and we were in often. We had a lot of faith in Chris and everything else.
I actually responded to some terrorists yesterday about Ninja Eclipse because somebody was asking, but does it hold up on location, or has it been anyone routed? And I was like, actually...
The one time didn't just lurk?
Yes.
Wow. What did you say?
Yeah, I said that we had it at multiple high volume locations over the course of 3 to 4 months, a couple thousand plays. We literally rebuilt the flippers and wiped it down. Like that was it.
Yeah.
I was super impressed whenever it came from off route and we took it over to PGX and literally it was just wipe it down and away you go. Yeah.
We might tighten something up, but minor stuff.
And that's a prototype game. They've made a bunch of upgrades to the build quality and everything else.
And they definitely are all about taking in people's feedback. They listen to it and they make the changes.
All the details.
Definitely. It's
details
awesome
matter.
That's exciting. So one more person can get one.
Yeah. If somebody's
out. What did those run?
$6,995 plus shipping. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
They're on the line now. So,
no.
Now, over the next couple months, they'll be moving.
It's 94, isn't it?
Is it 94? Okay.
It's 94. Less. Yeah. It's $1 less than a
I guess, as Mad Pinball, as the never over MSRP people, it's very important that we don't sell it for a dollar too much. Ruin our entire reputation.
I was just letting you know what Ninja Eclipse sold for.
We've got to be on the real. So Ninja Eclipse, if you're looking for a spot, we have one. It's going to be landing with operators. There are a lot of games. There's going to be one up in Buffalo at Pocketeers. There's one coming to Chicago. There's one coming to Arcade Legacy in Cincinnati. So if you're in any of those areas, get with
those
locations and get in and check them out and play them. You have a good time with it and you're wanting to get in on that game, let us know. Or, just be on the lookout for their future releases because once these games get built, the next awesome thing is right around the corner from them.
I'm excited to see what else comes.
What's next as always? That's like such a pinball thing where it's like, all right, this is cool. This X-Men just came out. That's awesome. But what's next? What's new?
Never satisfied.
No.
I don't know. I'm still pretty happy with X-Men. It's pretty fun.
So, Corbin, you took the Angelee Stark novelty premium. X-Men premium up to quarter up in Akron and...
Killing it. Oh, yeah. I think for the first week, it was up there at between 250 and 300 plays.
Wow.
So. And it's still been the leader for the past, week since. It was also a.
So we're recording on a Thursday, so you did a poll today, right?
I didn't pull the pins because
Yeah. But I did. I do have play counts at least on some of them.
Yeah, I was just curious on a few of them.
X-Men was the top still.
I had no doubt. I figured X-Men was still up there. Yeah. I was guessing Jaws was still up there.
Turtles, actually.
Turtles
is up there. But Turtles also has, like, the new factor. Like, it does? You know, it just not new, obviously, it's not a new game, but it's new up there.
Well, it has the topper on there, too.
It's an L.E.
Yeah.
What, is that number five?
Yeah.
So that Turtles is number five. And that Ultraman's number five. Man, we've got some number fives floating
Did
around.
Did we have number five? Was it five or eight of the X-Men?
We had
the X-Men the was X-Men. Five, too. Oh. Yeah, the old X-Men, L.E. was five.
Man.
Should have kept it just for that reason.
Should have kept it for the number five.
Just for the number five.
The other one that's been surprising me up there is John Wick. It's been getting some
again, like we were talking about with that game, I really feel like the ones that don't sell as well into homes when they are on location, they do even better because people are like, hey, I want to go out and try this game. I want to play it. My buddy doesn't have it or I don't have it, so let's enjoy it on location.
It had a weird... the lock wasn't working on it when I was up there today, but the plug just had come unplugged to the whole row of Optos.
That's my kind of fix.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, Ben had texted me and said, hey, it's acting up, so I was
Should have super glued it.
Yeah, could use a little hot glue. You could see, like, the one end just had started to come loose, so
very easy enough. Very, very cool, but we had done, in collaboration with the Hoover Pinball League, our X-Men, that was the premium that we ran through there, right?
Yeah.
The launch there. And Rob, so I want to shout out Rob Lansdale.
I think it's Lansdale, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Couple things here. Dude has the most insane X-Men comic book collection I've ever heard or seen of in my life. So apparently he just acquired and he's bought them all, like none online. He goes into comic book stores.
Finds
them
in the wild, if you will.
In the wild, goes through the boxes to find them, finally obtain like the last one that he has been on the hunt for years.
That had
years.
To be so awesome.
Like, what kind of good feeling would that be?
And it'd be a crazy man.
Right. Because it's so easy. Then
it's left now with, what do I do next?
Yeah, what do I move on to next? Because it's like, what do you... Balls. In 2024, it'd be so easy to just go on eBay or go on wherever, and you can buy the whole...
Everything, right.
Easy, but to track down every single issue in the wild. I'm sure you had comic book shop owners like on the lookout for specific issues and everything else, but yeah, I saw that, and I wanted to shout him out on that. But the Hoover Pinball League X-Men launch party winner... Your boy right here took home the grand. This is the first time that I didn't have to just take the grand champion plaque like out of a box and like pretend that it was mine.
Steals them,
like this one was legitimately mine, so that was a good time.
I showed up.
You did.
And nothing but Stern Classics got fucked. Oh my god, it was so bad.
So what was it? It was a three striker. What did you play? Four or five games, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, that was it.
Because you got on like Meteor and
Meteor again.
Sea Witch again.
And I'm like, oh god, I'm not good at these.
It was
I'm not good at any pinball, but especially not those.
Not the greatest.
I
should have
brought you Nugent today. That's why I should have brought you.
Oh.
Dude, I just want the back glass.
Sweaty Teddy, baby.
You could have brought both, you know. I, you know, switch them out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they travel together.
Yeah.
So did you guys see, I think it was the Kineticist / This Week in Pinball, the Roger Sharp action figures?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get them? You can order them.
Sold out.
Yeah, you know what I did see?
They sold out in like the first day.
Yeah.
It's like $100 or something?
I don't know.
How many they make? Like 10?
It was like
100 or something.
Yeah, like, it was like a legit amount.
It was a run.
Roger Sharp's a superstar. That house, the call we were on today, he had a little signed selfie with him.
I missed that.
And the daughters, they were all in it, in the picture.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was like from Expo?
Yeah, it was from Expo for sure.
Oh, that's super cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to check that out when we go back to replace that
board. I was trying to tell you about it, but you were just super obsessed.
Dude, okay. So we went on a home call.
You couldn't focus on anything.
I'd went soup on Wednesday. Expired milk. Foo Fighters LE, and it was reading no initialization of node boards 1, 4, 8, and 9. And like, I've seen that a ton of times. Oh, interlock switch is messed up or a connection has dropped off somewhere. It's 9 times out of 10, just a quick, super easy fix. I get there, check all the usual suspects, and no bueno, no joy, not booting up. So I start to mess with it a little bit. I'm jumper in this, I'm jumper in that. I'm like, man, it really feels like it's the main board, but I rarely see these main boards fail.
This is a game that had less than 1,000 plays on it.
Yeah, it had like 800 and some plays.
Yeah.
So I'm calling Corbin. He's like, no, everything that you're doing sounds like what I would do to kind of narrow this down. I'm like, oh, screw that guy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Sure. So I call Stern Tech Support. They've never been to pinball school. And they're like, no, you're looking at all the right things. It sounds like it's probably the board. So I text Corbin. I'm like, hey, you know, I know you've got a Foo Fighters LE in your living room right now. Can you just pull that board out of there and we'll go back tomorrow, throw it in there and see what's going on. So we do just that, throw the board in, and it turns out it was a bad board. But when we walk in the house, oh my gosh.
Here we go.
The best smelling soup I have ever smelled in my life. Minestrone,
chicken noodle. Puerto Rican or something soup. Isn't that what they said?
From Thailand?
The lady said some country.
I thought she said Thailand.
Oh, she might have said Thailand. I don't know. It wasn't.
I was willing to trade Corbin for one cup of this soup. Yeah. It smelled absolutely amazing.
We're downstairs. He's like down there plotting. He's like, if I just go through anything, I sneak it out. I'm like, he's like, you get the car, grab the pot. I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you're going to steal the whole pot of soup? Might be hot. Like, that seems messy.
I thought the real play was that we kidnap and ransom one of the children for some soup. Right. But Corbin talked me down from that.
So I don't have time for this today. I got other stuff I got to do.
But the real subject that came up during this repair was this. And I need responses from the listeners of, do you know, just off the top of your head, when your milk is going to expire in your refrigerator? Because I always, Scott asks, we're repairing his game. He's like, what is today? I'm like, oh, it's December 5th.
I thought your phone went off or something.
He asked what the date was, and I said December 5th, and I'm like, yeah, my milk expires today. And both Corbin and Scott look at me like I'm from another
planet.
Was
it in your phone?
No, I know.
I thought you had an alert
you
in your phone.
You keep that, and you're like,
hey. I honestly thought it was an alert on your phone. And I was like, he has his milk expiration in his phone? I can't get over this.
Okay. I don't. So outside
you just
of
knew it. You
outside
just remembered
of a bowl
it.
Of cereal, I don't drink milk. If I'm gonna have a bowl of cereal, I'll throw some milk in there. But that's it.
I guess it's not as wild that you just knew it, but it is.
Do you
random.
Always know the
I
expiration?
Always know.
So what's your new?
So
one?
I threw. I had one? A little bit left, and I threw
how
that
was,
out.
How did it smell?
It was seemed fine because the expiration dates aren't really the day it expires. It's the bye-bye date.
So when did you switch new one?
So I threw that away, and I bought the Nature's Basket this time from Giant Eagle, and it's good till February 9th.
Dude, don't trust that shit.
Dude, I've got a 2-month run on this thing.
That's a long time
for
milk.
Is it powdered?
No, it's like
is
legit.
Is it from a cow?
I mean, it says it's from a cow.
Nah, dude.
No?
That shit was by some power plant, nuclear power plant or something.
The cow was?
Yeah.
Probably.
The milk's not going to stay good aliens. That long. That's not natural.
Maybe it's like triple pasteurized, dude, reverse osmosis.
I don't know. What that makes me nervous.
What's the pH level of that milk?
Oh, can you measure pH in milk?
Mm-hmm. I noticed Norm was glowing the other night.
So that's the thing, is he's the only one that drinks the milk.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
And
I'm
I don't know what everyone
him.
Else's milk situation is, but if I buy a half a gallon, it's gone in like 3 days.
That's not my situation.
But if I buy a gallon, then it's expiring. So
I don't know. I get the smallest container. If I could get like the ones from the cafeteria sometimes, I would.
That would last you. That would be your.
Yeah, it'd be good for whatever for that meal that I'm.
And
your
egg
have to worry.
And a half you need.
Yeah, they don't have to worry about it going bad.
I don't know. Anna's kind of a little forever. Bit of a bakist. I could see, you know.
She does. So
you're going to go
it.
On a run.
Yeah, but she'll get it, but then she'll have a whole list of other stuff she needs too. So just get it then. It just goes bad.
So here's the question to everyone out there. Do you know when your milk expires, just like off the top of your head? Like,
I'm going to start pulling people. Be like, hey, when's your milk
just
expire?
Just random. You're in the grocery store, like in the dairy section.
You're like, when's your milk expire? No, they checked on the way to the grocery. It has to be out in the wild. We have to be like at some dude pinball. Yeah, or someone just be like, hey,
when does your milk expire?
When's your milk expire? So if we see you and you know when your milk expires and can prove it, you'll get a prize.
I'm lactose intolerant,
not
motherfuckers.
You,
that's the thing. I don't drink the milk. Tia doesn't drink cow's milk. So
no milk.
It's all on Norin.
I haven't had milk since 1993.
You lactose intolerant. So yeah. A little bit. All right. In further Black Friday news, I don't know. There were some good deals going on out there in the pinball world. I know Kyle did. What did you pick up? Some Titan rubbers? The 20% off?
Titan rubbers and some...
some Jimmies.
I can't let
some
I
Jimmies.
Let it all out.
No,
Jimmies.
I bought a bunch of Jimmies on Friday.
UV Jimmies.
So anyone that's aware of the Rob Zombie experience from last year's Pin Brew Fest, Kyle is about to step the Rob. This is going to be Rob Zombie Experience 2.0 this year. with some serious upgrades. So just prepare your eyes, your ears.
And we keep topping it, but it's like eventually, like, I don't know what we're going to.
There might be like a sense of smell part of it that's gonna, like a scratch and sniff sort of thing. I don't know.
A scent tower.
Did you have a smoke machine last year?
No.
We didn't do. Yeah.
I have some
opportunities here. So Kyle did the 20% off from Titan. Did either of you guys do? Corbin, you're always buying stuff.
I bought car parts.
Ooh, all right. Did Rock Auto have a big Black Friday deal?
No, Subi mods.
Okay, some Subi mods.
I got some ratchet straps from Home Depot.
Oh.
And some more, like, you know, box cutter, you know, change the razor blades out. Because I feel like I'm always looking for one, so I'm just leaving them everywhere now.
So
that's about it.
I am very susceptible to marketing. Very, very susceptible.
I did get something. Sorry, go on.
Is it about the ratchet straps?
No, I got something pinball related.
Oh, go ahead.
It was, I saw Zombie Yeti had a little free shipping thing going, and he had an original Alice in Wonderland print or whatever.
Oh, shit.
So I bought one.
Yes.
That's what I did get.
Yes.
It was free shipping. It's probably saving like $4. Cool, but whatever.
Yeah. So the ratchet straps, I fell down. I was looking for ratchet straps. Have you guys seen the ones that are like the auto ratchet strap ones? Like you don't crank them?
Yeah, but my dad saw one. He's been like...
Did he buy them?
He doesn't know where to find them.
Wait. So you're not cranking at all.
It's like a... If we're talking about the same thing, it's like a reel and then it clips on or whatever and then it comes out and then it shoots back in. Yeah, like a seatbelt basically.
But if your load moves during transit, it re-tightens itself as it shifts. So it never comes loose.
Have you found where to get them?
I do. I found it online. It's like 40. They're like $10 each. It's like $40 for four.
How long and how wide?
So for the 1-inch wide ones, they're good for up to a 500-pound load.
Personal, Zach.
Dude, I need to ask the first thing.
I looked at. So it was the 1-inch wide for up to 500 pounds.
I thought about using the word thick, so
which is plenty for a pinball machine. So I thought about I'll have to order some, and then we can give them the thorough test. But if anybody out there already has them or has experience with them. Zach, where should they drop us?
Freshpinball@gmail.com. And speaking of ratchet straps, so
I saw if they clip into the tracks too.
Oh, that would be cool. I saw these ones that you don't have to feed through, and they come through the side. You still have to ratchet them like a peasant,
right?
But they like slip through, then you ratchet strap instead of feeding it all the way through.
Interesting. So I just like the whole. You know, your load shifts, your pinball, it moves. It's nice that, like, hey, it's not going
to... It took me so long to get out here. I was just driving safe with those little children in the back.
You had them in nice and tight, too.
I don't know if I trust that Barrios shipment to Europe.
How many Barrios can we fit in the container?
When they're in the container, do they get strapped down or are they just kind of set in there?
They're just they
bolt stuff down the shipping container, don't
they? Really?
I've seen cars like shipped over and stuff and they like...
Oh, yeah. I've definitely seen like, unboxing like, cars.
Bolt wood and stuff down.
Right. But they'll stack them in there like you'll do one car on the bottom, one car on top.
What are you fucking stacking? Like a car on top of
each other?
There's
like a shelf up there, though.
No, it's like a shelf.
I've only seen them like two deep.
Think of like a 4-post lift sort of thing. Okay. The lift is.
I've never seen them like that. I've only seen like 2x2.
Yeah.
I guess 1x1. Not really 2x2.
Do they strap stuff down in like semi trucks?
They use those long bar things mainly. To wedge it.
Yep.
Makes sense why some of this shit comes the way it does.
So my big Black Friday purchase was Christmas tree.
Oh.
And I went with. A Fraser fir, got it home. What, got it in the little.
What height are we talking?
Oh, you know, 8-footer. Okay, right, got 8-foot ceilings.
Yeah,
come on,
yeah. I'm
get it in there. Get it set up. Things are looking slick. Things are looking good. And
where'd you get it from?
Lowe's. Come on, man. Right, you know my move. I can't be out there.
What'd they run you there this year?
There was a sale. It was like $20 off. So I think it was like $60 for this tree.
I think I'm going to go to that Hollydale on.
You're going to the tree farm?
No, not the tree
farm. Was she a Butte Clark?
She
Hollydale by La Pizzeria.
Okay. This is the best tree I think we've had in a while. I'm pretty happy with it.
Nice.
I can show you guys afterwards.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good.
And there was only a small fight about the Christmas lights. So I think it was like a real
How many times did you have to put the lights up?
Three times. Had to put the lights up three times.
I have a
times.
Fake pre-lit one, and it's pretty convenient.
I can't do it. I can't go fake.
So, Christmas tree's in, Christmas tree's up, all of that's good to go.
We'll do that this weekend.
We talked about milk expiration dates. Oh, so Star Wars, Dwight Sullivan, we've talked before about Midnight Madness with Star Wars.
Yeah, there's no Midnight in Star Wars, according to George Lucas.
But it turns out that they had physically coded Midnight Madness into the game 1.0. And put it out there.
It went up to, Hold on. 1.10 code was the last version that had Midnight Madness on it still. Everything after that, no Midnight Madness. So we just have to get that version. It'll have Midnight Madness on it.
Can you pull?
Is it on Stern's
website? Do people know?
They probably took it off, but somebody has it on the forum. Pull the code off. I'll just reach out to the terrorist or whatever and ask him, though. Mm. Somebody's sending it to people.
Some folks out there have it.
No.
So you have a Star Wars premium. We can get that code. We can throw it on there, and we can experience the forbidden Midnight Madness.
Whatever, someone's smart enough to move the code off of that to the latest code.
Ooh, yeah, like merge them.
Yeah, all you computer people, figure that out.
Yeah, we need to add a fifth into this group, someone that's good with all the coding
stuff. We're interviewing for a coding position.
If you can send all resumes to
freshpinball@gmail.com, that'd be great.
We pay you one Busch Light. That's all
peach.
You get.
Peach.
You can have regular or peach, whatever you want.
And all the pinball you can play.
All right, so this fact check has kind of drug on a little bit longer than I intended it to, but my final item here will be a Black Knight Swords of Rage has come into the circle. So I had an opportunity to go down to New Albany, Indiana, and I traded an Iron Maiden premium to a gentleman for a Black Knight Swords of Rage LE. So the Black Knight is home safely. I've been flipping it. And
how's she playing,
man? Oh, my gosh. So people tend to, and I guess I'm around a lot of serious pinball players, and they talk about how the pro is so fast, so, and it's brutal, and it's a challenging game and whatever else. And it is all of those things, and how on the premium and the LE, the upper play field just slows everything down and blah, 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 blah.
But it's Black Knight.
But it's Black Knight.
And it's not Black Knight without the upper play field.
100%.
It does slow it down, but it also makes the game, it's a longer player with the upper play field.
Yeah.
But in a home environment, like, you can backhand every shot on that game. The modes and the fights and the battles and the multi-balls, I mean, there's a retro mode that you can get into once you've been through a couple of the different multi-balls and modes that you can start that turns the LCD screen into, like, Black Knight 2000.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't know. I don't have a lot of time on that. I've played it on, like, location a bunch of times, but never really got deep in it.
I really enjoyed it a ton. We went out, 2 years ago for Corbin's birthday to Birdfish.
They had that one out there. We played a bunch.
Yeah, and Keith Campanelli had his either premium or LE. My mom fell in love with it out there. She did. She was absolutely...
She brings it up often.
Yeah. So that one's in the fold. I definitely need to have you gentlemen over. That way we can all get a little bit of time on it.
For sure.
But while I was in New Albany, I went to Rec Bar in New Albany, which was fantastic. One of our operating partners has games at Our Lady of Perpetual Hops. So they had their league night while I was there, which was Thursday night. So I went over for their league finals and hung out there. A lot of really cool people. It was an awesome crowd of literally people who were first-time pinball players to people who have owned pinball machines for decades. So swung by there, and then my hotel was over just across the river in Louisville, so I went to the Rec Bar in Louisville, and it was definitely a treat. They had a Joust pinball machine in there. Nice. The original Steve Ritchie, not the original Spider-Man, but the Steve Ritchie version of Spider-Man. I mean, they had Aerosmith connected up in there, all kinds of cool games. So I think I bought $10 in tokens, and since the replays were so low and people were walking away from free games, it literally took me what felt like.
What game did you say you played a bunch? What did you get stuck on? Something random.
Stuck on Aerosmith forever.
That's right, yeah.
Because I put up, like, an amazing game for me, and it gave me a free game, and then I got a match, and it was, every time I would walk...
Was it a premium?
No, it was a pro, which, a little bit of a disappointment, because you shoot the scoop for the elevator, and it just, like, shoots it back out onto the play field. It's like, oh, that's a pretty awesome elevator. Thanks. But it seemed like every game that I walked past, someone had left a credit on. It's like, I can't just leave this credit over here. I've got to play this game. But if you're down in the area, definitely check out the Rec Bar locations, Our Lady of Perpetual Hops. Definitely a thriving pinball community. And I know that a ton of those folks are going to be supporting Pinsinati this weekend. So, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which will be the 6th, 7th, and 8th.
They're probably down there setting up today.
They are setting up. David Rowland was posting some pictures of games being set up.
That's always a cool show.
cool show. We collaborated last year with the Electric Playground down there. You'd take in your
Twilight and Godzilla.
Yeah. And you had like multiple people bidding, having a bidding war over your Godzilla.
Should have sold it.
Yeah, that was a weird time. But yeah, great show. Definitely, if you have the opportunity this weekend, get down there and check it out. So now that we're only 40 minutes into this episode, after all of the drivel and other shenanigans that we've been talking about, I wanted to talk a little bit of Pat Lawler. And I know everybody around this table has obviously some experience playing his games, whether it's been Adam's Family or Banzai Run or any of those things. So let's talk a little Pat Lawler. Corbin, when I say Pat Lawler, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I mean, obviously the first thing that always pops in your mind is, oh, Adam's Family, the pinball everyone always talks about.
Yep.
But, you know, I think, he's had a crazy career. I always hear about his workshop. That always kind of has intrigued me. There's just so many stories of him, like, building these games and trying different things. I mean, Banzai Run is such a off-the-wall, crazy concept, awesome game. And just to think about, like, the career that spanned from 80s all the way up to, you know, Toy Story. Was that the last one? Or did he did?
Yeah, Toy Story was his final design. So he feels a little bit like almost a George Gomez type of character to me, where he was in.
He's never gotten to like the management of it all, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly.
George has now kind of shifted into management at Stern and still designing and helping and building the teams there. But Pat always was just strictly designing.
Because when I was looking at his game list of what he's designed, I had known that Banzai Run wasn't originally Banzai Run. It was a game called Wrecking Ball that he had designed and then repurposed for Banzai Run. But when I was scrolling through, I feel like in my mind, when I think of him, I figure he's like a Steve Ritchie that was out there making games for decades. So he had to have made like 30, 40 games or whatever. When I went through his list of actual produced titles, how many games do you think he was on design for?
So we're saying from, like, his first game was what, mid-80s?
1988
till
2022.
Yeah, and he was pretty active because there was, like, Pat Lawler. Like, he did his own, like, contract games for Stern where they were buying the designs from him for a while. So he never really has taken a break. 47.
47? Zach, how many do you think he designed?
I don't know about 40.
These are actually they got produced.
Games that were produced, correct.
I'm going to go like 25.
25? Kyle?
18.
Kyle nosed it. 18 is the number that he made, which I felt like is less than I would have guessed for someone who, you know, it's not like he was in and out of pinball. I mean, he was, you know, he had a little bit of a break from 08 to 17. You know, his last one with Stern was CSI in 2008. And then with Jersey Jack in 2017, his first one was Dialed In. So you do have
Dialed In, Wonka, and Toy Story?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Those are his three JJP games.
CSI, though? That's the last one.
That was the last one he made with Stern. Which is funny, we were talking about Pincinnati because we played the heck out of that CSI that was down at Pincinnati with the boys from the Electric Playground.
It's kind of a fun game.
And I've since
you don't see it a lot.
At Rec Bar at the one in Louisville, they had a really nice one, and I played a couple games on it. And it just has these fun little mechs in it, just all the things that you would expect to come from him.
And you look at if you look at this list, I mean the things that were on it, like
power hitters from every
Earthshaker. So we run down the list. Banzai Run obviously is insane. Like you're playing up the vertical play field.
Yep.
Earthshaker, the fault splits in the building originally sunk.
Mm-hmm.
Whirlwind, we have spinning
and the shaker discs. Motor.
Yeah, and the first with the shaker motor. Funhouse, the talking Rudy. I mean, that was
Funhouse is an all time classic.
Oh, it's one of my favorites.
Then you get into Adam's Family, Twilight Zone. Both are just, I mean, Twilight Zone, the mechs on it are way crazy. Roadshow, you got the mouths again. Safecracker, another unique crazy. Rolls
shoots
of token
the coins
design.
At you. Yeah,
I'd love to have a Safecracker.
Oh yeah, we for sure. Then you get into No Good Gophers, which Jeff was drooling about earlier. It has having interesting mechs. Monopoly, the poor man's
Adam's Family.
I mean, so you get in some interesting stuff.
But does it, like, I'm scrolling through this list, and there's no dogs on this list. No. Like, all of these games are either good or have really good redeeming qualities. Roller Coaster Tycoon, Ripley's Believe It or Not, NASCAR, Family Guy, Shrek. I mean, there are some that are better than others, but no none doubt. Of these
Family
are like
that mini playfield, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I like Shrek and Family Guy.
Right.
And NASCAR is fine.
NASCAR's cool how it zips around and slams into the and Ribley's test
Believe
car.
It or Not has like it has a couple different
for that
on
era.
It.
It's loaded.
Yeah, it really is.
So I think during that era, so Roller Coaster Tycoon, Ripley's Believe It or Not, NASCAR, Family Guy, and CSI. I think that was during the time where he was just doing strictly contract work with Stern, so he wasn't officially an employee. He had Lawler, I think it was like Pat Lawler Designs or something like that.
So they did a Dale Jr. NASCAR overlay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then you also so have, like, they Grand have up for, the Grand Prix. Yeah,
Grand Prix, I knew that one. I didn't realize they did a Dale, though, too.
I've seen a few Dale Juniors. You actually see them sometimes.
Do it for Dale.
Well, it's interesting with the NASCAR and the Dale Juniors and all of those, like, they're in the South everywhere. So when I see them pop that's up for right, sale, they're in the Carolinas, they're in Georgia,
really?
They're in
Really?
Well,
I know, why. Shocking,
the first
right?
time I saw it, yeah. South Carolina.
But I saw a really nice Dale Jr. pop up with Great American Pinball not that long ago out in Chicago. They had one and it was gorgeous. It looked very, very, very minty. So what do you think of, Zach, when you think of Pat Lawler? I say Pat Lawler.
For a Funhouse.
Funhouse?
Yeah. His, you know, System 11s, all of them really. And like Corbin said about his shop at his house, I'd love to see that.
Just, I think he has one of every of his games. I guess isn't that
really?
Somebody had said, because there was at one point some of them got water damage or something because it was in the back of the barn. Or, you know. I guess it's not that many games if you think about it. 18
no. games is right. that
18,
much.
It's not that much, but at the same time, it's if I had 18 in my house, it'd be or in my workshop, it'd be a lot. I don't know.
If it was Hendrix, you'd be like, oh, 2 hours.
Right? Right.
Know, like, come on.
Well, talking about water damage, have you guys been following on Pinside and Marketplace and everywhere else these games that are coming out of Florida post hurricane?
No.
Oh, no.
Have you been seeing this, Kyle?
I've seen a few.
Are there deals to be had?
So
no.
No, they're
I feel like they're overpriced for what they are. Because a lot of times it looked like the water got to literally where the bottom of the cabinet got
like
wet.
Lower leg bolt.
Yes.
I'd say.
Yes. So not into the electronics, but sog into the wood, you know.
I'm just thinking if you just buy them for the boards or something.
What,
or the playfield's not bad.
AC/DC Lucy for like $5,000.
Yeah, so I would think a water damage AC/DC Lucy would be less than $5,000.
Yeah. But it was still fine.
Because what are you going to do? Get a new cabinet?
Well, if it's a modern Stern.
You just buy one.
Yeah.
That's true.
You could swap it out. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. But it needs to be a deal for it to make sense.
$2,500
What are you
going to
pay for that? Like $500?
I mean, I'd pay a couple grand, but not $5,000.
It depends how bad the damage was.
Yes.
And you can see inside. Is it molding inside? I mean, you got to think of flood damaged cars, too.
Exactly.
It's some of the salt, though. You got to remember the salt down there gets in the electronics and really screws shit up.
Right. Is the water that was in your home just storm water? Was it ocean water? Like, there are a lot of.
Isn't it all ocean water at that point?
Was it urine?
Yeah, dude.
We're just wondering.
It was like that South Park where the.
It backed up, man.
Well, what was the game, Kyle, that was 1 of 10 or 1 of 12 that popped up that was a storm damage one? Mafia?
Oh.
Dude, if I had a game that was 1 of 12, I would haul that shit out with me.
Yeah, it was a 1 of 12 Mafia.
I don't think that was a storm or
that's
was,
Kingpin you're thinking of.
Or it was
it's Mafia. It's some weird-ass fucking...
Oh.
So it was like Game Concepts or something like that. Mm. It's a from out of England. It was the startup.
They hauled out because who cares?
Yeah,
I'm just joking.
Well, what was interesting, obviously, I wasn't in the hobby at that time, so I wasn't aware of that game. So I did a little bit of research on it. And it's a single-level game, not the most fantastic art in the history. Though. It reminded me a lot of Punny Factory.
Dude, I was just thinking Punny Factory.
Yeah, of that same sort of like, hey, we're going to do this proof-of-concept game, and then after we get this game out there, then our next game will be really the big leap forward. Well, from this...
It was Andrew's relative.
I'm looking for it, but Jeff always sends me a picture when he gets his hair done.
So. I'm 90% sure it was called Mafia. But yeah, it was an interesting one, but it was one of the storm damaged ones. But yeah, Funhouse, I mean, that one, when I first started coming out to, you know, knowing of whose games are whose, and I was playing Corbin's Funhouse, I was like, man, this game is absolutely incredible, all-timer, you know, tons of fun shots, awesome mechs, Rudy mocking you, the call-outs, the clock, the... Everything about
a hot dog. The second shooter rod.
Yes. Yes. We've talked about that before, where there are just so few games that have that second shooter lane. And Pat Lawler has two of them. That one in Roadshow. All right. So we
It was
have
not
here...
a storm damage one.
And if you think about it, Funhouse is a standard body when Roadshow's wide.
Yeah. So this Mafia was Hurricane Milton caused some cabinet. And it says freshwater flooding.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
But only reached the very bottom of the machine. Electronics remained high and dry.
What are they asking for?
So they're asking $6,500.
Oh. They show pictures of the boards.
They don't. They don't.
One of
or the bottom of the cabinet or any of that. But yeah, that it was. Sucks. There were 10 made, and this was number 4. So, yeah.
Insurance would pay out on that, right?
I would think so. So
as long
did they
as
get
you
paid
have it all properly?
Well, here's the question. Did they get paid out on insurance and then they're also selling it? So, like, last you're double time, dipping at
I,
that point?
When I've done insurance jobs, the insurance company then, they had asked me to either take it back or I could buy it if I wanted to.
Right. Because right. So it's I like guess, a car. Because I've
so
had.
So then somebody probably, like, the guy who did the thing then
there's
just
a buyback
ended up
option.
It. Yeah.
Dude, it totally looks like Pony Factory's back glass.
I know, right? Doesn't it have those vibes of, like, the single level, the art, all of those things just.
Dude.
Very much to me had this that same sort of family. Vibe.
4 of 10.
Yeah, 4 of 10. And like I said, whenever I clicked, I ended up going Super on Pinside and looking at the company that made it. They were out of England.
What year was this?
I think it was like 16.
And
so.
He's a Megatron and a Meteor.
I love me some Meteor. I'm a sucker for the old Stern Electronics.
They're pretty cool, man. They have some sweet artwork on them too.
I'm gonna bring that Ali by.
So whenever I think of Pat Lawler, immediately I think of Safecracker. A couple different reasons. I think it's an extremely unique game. I think it's a fun game. It comes from that era of the mid-90s, 1996, where they
were trying random shit.
They were trying, like, let's throw this against the wall and see if it sticks. And my first experience with that game was Tia, Norn, and I were traveling, and we're in Paris, France, and we're looking for somewhere to grab some lunch. And Tia finds this...
Flipper?
Exactly, finding the flipper. Tia finds this, I think it was some sort of Asian ramen bar. And we go in there and they have a couple arcade candy cabs and they have a safe cracker. So I go over and I put, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 euros into that game and had an absolute blast on it. Fell in love with it then and there. And it made a ton of sense in that space of why they went with a small, like, let's try the smaller game, something with a smaller footprint that we can fit into maybe some spaces where we couldn't fit a traditional pinball machine.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know.
All that stuff made a ton of sense to me. And then since then, I got to play it at Pinsinati last year. They have one over at Pastimes, and the ones at Pastimes. VFW has it. The ones at Pastimes, they had special tokens made. So I think there are 6 different
Phil had
ones?
All of them in his car.
Yeah, and a few of them have the Pastimes logo. They have all kinds of different They're things cool. on them, which are
super
amazing.
If we get one,
amazing.
We'll have to obviously make our own tokens.
Oh,
sure.
The other place I ran into it was suburb of Orlando, Florida. We were waiting on a flight. The Pinball Lounge is inside of a bowling alley in Oviedo, Florida. Amazing lineup of games in there.
That wasn't the place that had the Big Bang Bar, too, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Same what place. I thought. Yeah, damn.
And then down in that area, that they have a Silver Ball Del Rey, which also has, they had like barbed wire and all kinds of just off-the-wall stuff that you don't see on a regular basis.
Raven.
Kyle, I say Pat Lawler. What do you think? Doesn't have to be a game. Can be whatever. Can be a mech. Can be a...
A feeling.
Can just be a...
Like those weird, sturdy games.
So the ones like Late in His Run?
Yeah, or, like Ripley's and...
Monopoly, Roller Coaster, Ripley, NASCAR, Family Guy, Shrek, and CSI
I was
a Stern Run.
I was afraid
run.
That Corbin's going to bring me Roller Coaster.
Dude, you chose Roller Coaster Tycoon. It should have been.
Did. And it was like a random-ass text, so...
I did. That's what I was going for. Because if I ask you what game you're saying, I don't know.
I thought about
just
it
bring
like
me something.
Minutes, like, fuck.
So on Roller Coaster Tycoon,
it's not a bad. I enjoy that game.
No,
it's just super
really,
easy.
Really fun.
It is yeah, it's
super easy.
Yes.
I wonder when he designed it.
If anyone has any ramps, I need one.
Was the Dunk the Dummy, when he designed it, one of those troll dolls with the crazy neon hair? Or was that, oh man, we can get these trolley dolls for like 5 cents each, so we're going to put this into the
game.
I had
heard it was actually a Gary Stern model first, like a little Gary Stern doll. But then they went with the troll.
We need something with a little more hair than Gary has. Yeah,
exactly. The hair adds to the...
Because I've heard from that whole early like 2000 to 2010 era, like they would pull off the shelf, like you go to the toy store and can get this. Or
even like the Mustang stuff, the Transformers part.
Yeah, ones, exactly. Like, yeah. Or even
the doorknob on
from Tales from the Crypt. Yeah. That's exactly like this. That's an off the shelf. Mustang is the one definitely when we had that pro in for a minute where it's like, this is literally just one of those die cast model
cars.
And
then they sent us the prizes that were the Matizo or whatever the name of that company is. You know, they were the model cars and they were the ones that are on the thing. But I mean, then again, you look at Toy Story 4, it has some cake toppers.
Well, let's talk a little bit then about his era. So obviously you have his Bally Williams career. You have his Stern career, and then at the end, from 2017 to 2022, you have his Jersey Jack career. So the Jersey Jack time...
Not the end. He's still alive.
He's still doing stuff, absolutely.
The end of his...
I heard he's working on Wizard Blocks.
Yeah, the end of his, you know, official design time.
Toy Story 5.
You know, which one of those Jersey Jacks is your favorite or you think is the best of his? Dialed in, Willy Wonka, Toy Story 4. Corbin? You've had a little bit of time on Wonka.
Not enough.
You've had Dialed In at your house.
I did. Dialed In is cool, but I'm almost like, I like Wonka. Okay. I like the vibe of Wonka, I think.
Aren't the toys on that really fun? Like the Wonka
the
vision,
Etch-a-Sketch
awesome. Looking
thing.
In
the details. There's a lot of details on Wonka that I really dig.
Where like you have to shoot the everlasting gobstopper and then it turns and you drop the ball in there.
I haven't been able to get the Wonka Vader yet. That's the only thing I haven't been able to get.
So I'd only played Standards before we got that one in, and then I played over at Belt Kings, and he also had a limited so that Wonka Vader isn't on the standard. So the first time I shot that at Belt Kings, I'm like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah, I'm going to pry that out of my dad's hands before it goes out.
Yeah. Zach,
I'd probably say that, yeah.
Have Wonka. You played all three of the
Yeah, I played them all. And I had Toy Story 4 at my house there for a minute, too.
More than a minute,
I'd
say.
It was a long minute.
We had to drag that out of the clutches of your children.
Max's hands, yeah.
How many thousands of drink straws did you have to buy to play that game?
It's a right flipper problem.
But I have to agree with Corbin with Wonka.
I actually sell a drink.
Yeah,
I have a drink straw
Toy Story
dispenser next to me.
4 is cool. I like the Duke of Boom shot.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's like the Wonka. It just spoke to me. The colors, like Corbin said, and there's
Darlington's cool too. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It's cool.
I feel like of those three, the mechs. Just if I'm just looking at mechs, I'm gonna look at Dialed In, and I'm gonna look at Wonka as the two like that are kind of neck and neck for me, because you have obviously everything we talked about on Wonka that I think is amazing. But then Dialed In, it's like you've got the cell phone over there. You've got where you can...
A lot of cool references.
A lot of cool throwbacks, you know, back to the Bally Williams times.
And you got to appall that it's an original title. It's not a...
Original title,
a licensed theme.
You've got the drones on there. You've got all the magnets going on. You've got the spaceships.
Stop spinning.
We need less spinning on the drones, please. But, I mean, what's that? If you hit the left orbit shot, there's almost like from Funhouse where it opens up and you shoot it into...
The trapdoor, but it's called something else.
Yeah, it's one of his rolling jokes that he uses like across a bunch of his games, the same Crazy Bob's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a Crazy Bob's place. It's the... Was it a Bieber store or something?
Yeah, whatever. So, I mean, it's like all those little inside jokes that if you get them, you get them. If you don't, you don't.
It has Crazy Bob's has a Big Bang reference, I feel like, on it. Is there something else?
So of the Jersey Jack era, I'd almost have to lean Dialed In being my favorite of his. I do love Dialed In.
You do.
So that'd be my number one, Wonka 2, Toy Story 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like Toy Story. It's fine. I'm amazed.
Toy Story 4.
I'm amazed at how well Toy Story 4 earns, but I think it's Craig Drew.
I think it's Craig, dude.
I think that guy's bought that game a couple times over at this point.
Not mad about it.
Kyle, do you care to chime in on your ranking of Waller's career during Jersey Jack, or are you going to abstain from this part of the conversation?
I think I'm good.
He's good. So we have the three eras. We have his Jersey
Jack. I go Dial In. If I have to choose.
That's fair. So his three stops, Bally Williams, Stern, Jersey Jack. What do you think was his... best time.
I mean,
it's hard to not go Williams. Obviously,
I'm a Williams. I'm a Williams guy.
There's so many classics through Williams.
It's funny too, which because he has credit for Bally and Williams games.
He does because it's Williams early on, and then.
But then Bally even Williams. Like Roadshow was ran under Williams, so it was No Good Gophers.
Well, it's so interesting to me that Adam's Family is under Bally and not Williams. Because it always felt like we'd heard
Bally
in the past.
Bally was kind of like the more off-the-wall crazy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the article the other day? I think it was a Nap thing.
About the topper.
Wasn't that fascinating?
It's fucking crazy.
So no, we talk about all the time, like, things being in games that then
the
aren't in the movie.
Jurassic Park 3 thing.
So the egg from Jurassic Park 3 is not in the movie. And there are a bunch of other examples of things. So from the Addams Family in the script, the house itself was supposed to be able to, like, change the weather or do all kinds of crazy things. But it's not in the movie.
Oh, so it's like, but now you've done it.
So when they designed the topper is the cloud, the storm that it's creating
whatever,
with the weather vane and the whatever else.
Oh.
But it was so inexpensive for them to produce that topper because all it is a vacuum form mold or whatever.
Or stick
that
couple decals, whatever.
Even once they knew it wasn't in the movie, they just left it on
it. It still creates such a...
And I never made that connection.
No, like, always I just figured they were just that. Like setting. It was just making that. It's just such a moment, you know,
yes.
Like and everything
for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I've never understood or I've never found like there are the clear ones and then there are the black clouds. Like,
I didn't know that any came out black originally. I didn't know that was a thing.
I wonder if the black clouds are just dirty. The gold came on the gold editions.
You can get them. You can get either one.
Huh.
They're the same price.
But yeah, whenever I saw that little nugget about the storm cloud, I'm like, oh, like I never even had thought to myself. I wonder why that's up there. It just kind of tied in with the game, but
yeah. You know why? Nobody looks at
Rick and Morty just restarted again, dude.
Rick and Morty's not behaving over there.
It was happy in my garage.
It was super happy. Sometimes games, you know, they lose that magic smoke when they get moved from one house to another.
Do.
So yeah, I think we're all pretty much on the same page of, you know, his Bally Williams career being his most. It's hard whenever you have Addams Family, which is the best selling game of all time.
Well, I mean,
you have Funhouse, you have Twilight Zone, Bonsai Run.
So,
I mean,
what's your favorite from his? Let's say System 11, what's your favorite from the WPC?
I think, yes, that is the perfect question. So let's start with...
Start with somebody else's.
I'll start with myself.
Yeah, yes. Jeff, what you got, man?
So my favorite of his Stern era, and this will be no surprise to anyone at this table, is NASCAR. I love turning left. I love shooting the test car. I love the impossible extra ball
shot.
Help
Ricky Bobby.
help me, Ricky Bobby.
They should make a tailgate at night.
And I've seen, like, they do it. I've seen an alternate translate before for that. That is the Ricky Bobby one, and it is on point.
That'd be great.
So that is my absolute favorite of the Sterns. Honorable mention for me from the Stern ones. I also do really enjoy CSI, and I've had a few opportunities to pick them up, but just never at the right price.
The centrifuges.
I love the centrifuge.
So tasty.
I love the skull ball lock shot that you hit. Like the
ice
balls
cream
actually
there.
Go into the skull eye sockets, which is fantastic.
That's an interesting mech too, because then it like lowers or it raises up or something.
Yeah, it's a very, very, that's definitely one that's on my list. So that's my honorable mention for the Stern era. And then the Bally Williams time, like, I know that Addams Family is the bestseller of all time, and it's a fun
but
game.
What's Jeff's favorite?
I think it's overrated, personally.
So my favorite from that time is Safecracker.
Nice.
It's unique, it's loaded, it's cool, it's not your normal scoring game, your objectives are different, and then the tokens on top of that are just, like, the icing on the cake for me. Kyle, favorite from the Stern era from Mr. Lawler... favorite from the Bally Williams era?
Grand Prix.
Ooh, okay.
Grand Prix.
Also known as NASCAR.
NASCAR, so that's the European version of NASCAR. And they had that up at Vintage Flipper World was the first time that I ever saw
it. Aren't they sitting next to each other?
Sitting next to each other.
As they should be.
It's interesting because it's the exact same game, obviously different art package, and they have call-outs from the actual... Though?
Is that the one that had a center post?
Or not that was post, Lord of the Rings.
Up. You're right. That popped
the
up.
The European Lord of the Rings because it couldn't be a game of chance. It had to be a game of skill.
Right.
All right. Your favorite from his Bally Williams era, Kyle. You've got some No Good Gophers, Roadshow, Addams, Twilight Zone, Whirlwind, Earthshaker.
I like Twilight Zone.
I hate to say it.
What do you like about Twilight Zone? I mean, what's not to like? It's obviously an iconic game. So, but
it's like the only wide body game I don't mind playing.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's one that when it plays right, I really enjoy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't mind the floaty on the on that game, especially.
Now, I felt like before Corbin brought his in and, like, completely rebuilt it, it was like, man, this game is just not that great. It kind of feels tired, all of this stuff. And then when you complete, like, you went through that game.
Oh, yeah.
And when it came back out, I was like, damn, this game is, like, when it plays right, it's fun.
Yeah, because it's only been routed since 1993.
She was a little tired. And then on top of that, it's like the Electric Playground did that just absolutely bonkers topper. Yes,
I need to get another ball. Somebody stole the ball off it.
The moving eye, the load the gumball machine, you get the ball to orbit the habit trail, you've got the clock on. And then I saw that they're going to do like a desktop or like a wall shelf version of it to where...
Very cool, because they have a Lebowski version of their Lebowski wall art topper.
And then I think for Great American, who does the black and white versions, they're doing a special run of 10 toppers that are going to be black and white for that. So all kinds of cool stuff.
Pretty sure I have a picture of Corbin putting the topper on Twilight Zone. And you're taking a picture of him doing it, and I'm taking a picture of
I'm pretty sure I have a picture of all both of you taking pictures. But
yeah.
The ultimate picture inception.
It's real weird. Only one butt crack, though. It's unusual.
Oh, man. Are you taking a picture of your own butt crack?
No, it's yours.
Butt crack All right, Corbin, your best Lawler from the Stern era, your favorite Lawler from the Bally Williams era?
Stern era, I think I'd go... I like the Shrek Family Guy layout, and I'd say between the two... I think maybe Shrek because I like the green and I'm a sucker for these little mini play fields with mini flippers and mini wire forms. Like I'm a sucker for that. So I love the Stewie multi ball or the Donkey multi ball. So I'll go with one of those.
It's interesting on that one when you look at it. Family Guy's 2007 with 2,500 produced, and then Shrek a full year later. In 2008 was 600 produced. So it's not like a spooky sort of, repurposed one where we're running them in tandem at the same time. It was
finished one and did the other one.
Yeah.
Let's fire everybody because we have no money. And nobody else
We were talking about, I think maybe off the podcast, pre-podcast of, this is the era that it was Steve Ritchie was a contractor. Lawler was a contractor. I think Borg was their only in-house designer at the time. So any of these other ones are, hey, okay, we contracted you to do this layout. We can retheme it to Shrek. Cool.
Yeah. I'd say Shrek, Family Guy layout. I enjoy it.
Bally Williams?
I'm probably going to go Whirlwind.
Ooh, all right. You are a fan of Whirlwind.
I do love me some Whirlwind.
How do we all miss it?
I mean, really, all Whirlwind, Earthshaker, Funhouse.
I do love me a good Earthshaker, too. I love Earthshaker as well.
Earthshaker is currently sitting next to Funhouse in my house. Yeah. They're both amazing.
There's so many good games, but Whirlwind, I think, is what I would say would be my pick.
Yeah, I love some Whirlwind. It's another one that you had on route that I really fell in love with. When you had it out, and then when it went away, it was like, oh, man, I missed that game. Sometimes you don't know how good you have it when you have access to a game till it's gone. Because I felt the same way when your Aerosmith Premium was out. I played it, and I was like, I don't know, I really don't love this game. And then it went away, I'm like, I miss Aerosmith Premium.
So, did you know there's two different Whirlwind backlashes?
Tell me more.
So originally they produced one with a Cubs hat, I believe.
Mm-hmm. One of the kids in the audience.
And they're like, oh shit, we can't actually do that.
They didn't get the right.
So they put a W. You'll see. Well, one of ours is a W sticker over top of the Cubs.
So you can feel the sticker over it. And then the other one, then they started printing it with just the Williams hat instead.
Those
of
sort
Cubs
of things
hat.
Fascinate me. Like that. And then like on Taxi, the back glass where one you have the red hair.
It's
the
playfield too. Lola. Yeah. Yeah.
They're just all those different little things to where it's like, we think we can sneak this out there and nobody will notice. And then there was no sneaking. Somebody noticed. Especially when you're a Chicago-based company, you're putting something out with Cubs on it. It's like, you really think this and no one's going to notice this? You really thought that was the move?
I think the one that's in is I think it's the one with the sticker on it, but I'm not sure.
So, yeah, obviously an absolutely iconic career. Just some all-time banger games, some amazing mechs, amazing just designs, unique stuff. Whenever our last episode, we talked about underappreciated designers. I think Pat Lawler, by and large, is properly appreciated. When most people talk about their Mount Rushmore of designers, his name is one that generally is put up there as one of the four greatest pinball designers of all time, and rightfully so, in my opinion. There are just so many amazing games. Absolutely love me some Pat Lawler. So we have well eclipsed the 1 hour mark here. We probably talked about, 30 minutes of cargo container talk, and then 30 minutes of pinball.
Update, vehicle updates.
We do need
the trailer corner.
This is the really important segment here. So once again, segment three of Corbin's trailer talk. Corbin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Happy to be here.
This is Jeff Stark here, a longtime listener, first time caller. Good to be with you, Corbin.
Yeah. So today we're going to focus on not the trailer as much as the truck itself. We've been doing
We got the classic.
Yeah, the classic's been getting some
classic
love.
One under surgery.
So to start things off, we went ahead and did a complete front end rebuild,
upper, lower control arms.
Axles,
because they had to come out to get the control arms out.
Pieces.
And then we had to cut the amperes in half to get the torsion bars out. And done it all day. It hooked us up with this most badass fucking air hammer.
Torque arms are a pain in the ass to get out, we found.
And then it got rear brakes, too.
Yeah, complete rear brake rebuild. And then all new tires.
And it's getting alignment tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning we're aligning it, yeah. It's a little floaty right now.
I eyeballed it.
How was the drive over in the snow?
We just took it easy.
It was fine. We just took it slow because it was like, it's slow. It's snowy out and it's floating all over. And we got a lot of pinball babies in the back. So
we got a squall today. I was surprised. Real fucking cold and then just like snow blowing.
We need more.
So yeah, that's the update of what's going on. Hoping now the truck's back together, then we'll probably do a little work on the trailer next.
Yeah,
fix the fender, put new tires on it.
That's the the tires are already in hand. The fender just needs some
courtesy of our Summit Racing sponsor, and we paid for them, so money.
Money.
So yeah, that's the update.
Trailer talk with Corbin. I think the takeaway here is that what you're towing with is just as important as the trailer.
We got to maintenance everything.
Maintenance is all these. We're putting miles on all this crap here.
I think next up to the other truck, the black truck, is going to need some of the brakes are sounding a little funny on it. So that'll be next.
Sounds about right. And probably do some of that damn fuel pump again.
They get used. They
just
get abused.
Started making noise.
Just last week, man. It's down the metal on metal. The rotor's half gone.
I don't know how this keeps happening.
Can you turn this rotor when it's half of it gone?
Yes.
Well, not so much.
Yes, I can.
Nope, bug off.
All right, everyone. Trailer talk this week. We actually have a new sponsor for the trailer talk section here. It's brought to you in part by Everything Education. That is your local Canton, Ohio school supply store. They're located at 3828 Cleveland Avenue in Canton, Ohio.
They do all our printing.
They do all the printing. If you are a teacher, homeschooler, any of that stuff, you need some school supplies, give
them a call. Christmas gifts for your kids.
You can hit them up anytime on the web or give our girl Kelsey a call at 330-491-9866.
And ask for Kelsey only. She's who can help you.
Thanks for sponsoring us, Everything Education.
Should we give them a showroom update? Should we talk about our showroom?
Let's do.
Just briefly.
I think we should talk about. So you've been working hard. So out of something the blue, like I'm like, hey, Corbin, what's going on today? And you're like, I've been playing with a bunch of electrical and I'm running stuff and like I'm moving games.
We need more juice.
Yeah, so
four more breakers. We added four more circuits in because we want to power some games. And we got some games there.
We
and,
do.
And so we're gonna decorate the walls a little bit, get a couple more games there, get some other games out, and we'll have a showroom.
We were giving it a little bit of a test run on Wednesday. Darkroom Pinball, darkroom_pinball on Instagram. John came down and was doing some glamour shots of Spooky's Texas Chainsaw Massacre Collector's Edition.
We got a beautiful, that's a low number too. That's like 11 or 18 or something, isn't it?
It's a very, very early number. Matt got that game like right off the rip.
Yeah.
So that one's
buy it so we don't keep it.
That's the real struggle for that one for sure. So if you're interested in not having to wait for one, You know, obviously below MSRP since it's a used game. I think it has under 1,500 plays.
It was low.
Amazing condition, plays great, all of that stuff. I think we had it listed up at $8,500 OBO. Pick up in North Canton, Ohio, or can be shipped to you at the buyer's expense. But yeah, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that one was for the my little maiden voyage into the conversion over to the showroom. And I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be a comfortable space for people to be able to come in, check out some games, flip some games, yeah. All of that goodness.
Definitely.
All right, Kyle, final thoughts, buddy. What do you got for me?
I'm flipping flabbergasted.
You should be flipping.
Oh, I have a dog, too.
Oh, honey girl.
Honey girl's here.
She's a little shy. She's no Ziggy where, you know.
She's no tank.
A lot of
tank.
Shaking and barking.
Ziggy will let you know when someone's coming.
He will for sure let you know. Hey, man, the load in the dryer.
Squirrel. Gone. Squirrel farted outside.
Oh, it's a squirrel. It's coming. Did you guys know? There's a package being delivered.
Across the street.
Oh, final thoughts, Zach. What do you got for us, buddy? This is the season finale.
Just get out there and play pinball. What else am I trying to say? Be nice to each other and play pinball.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
We don't have any events coming up, do we?
We don't. And
Quarter Up's Christmas party.
Yep.
But the next season, be prepared. We're going to be doing some events.
Corbin is already itching to do a big tour. So yeah, I think in January, you can look forward to us pulling the trigger on something epic where we're going to get around to a bunch of locations with a bunch of cool games, get everybody out, have a good time.
Yeah.
But the Quarter Up Christmas party, 23rd? That one is, Monday, December 23rd at 7 p.m. at he's Quarter
got,
Up.
Ben's got all kinds of raffles and stuff going for it, like all kinds of things in the works.
I think is that when he's giving away the playfield?
There's a playfield. And actually, the way to get entered, you get tickets to get into this raffle for this playfield, and you can... I think you can buy them, but the better way or the cheaper way to get them is if you go up and you're playing in the league the weeks leading up to it. If you if you place well in the league, you get so many tickets, and then if you have grand champs on any of the games up at Quarter Up, that also then earns you tickets into this lottery, right. This drawing. So I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. What playfield was it?
I don't remember which one it was, but I mean, it's a Lord legit... Of the
no, it was Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, yep. Yeah. So you're still going to have Monday, December the 9th, Monday, December the 16th, and then the actual party on the 23rd. So there are multiple opportunities to win some tickets, which will get you some entries.
Or if you just go up any day and set a grand champ on something, and your initials are up there, come the 23rd, you're getting into entries.
And depending on what your work... situation is, you know, if you can get in at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock on a weekday, get in there and bang away some games.
So don't come at 3.
Yeah. Well, Corbin will be there. He'll let you in. It's all good.
Somebody came in today. Not open yet, buddy.
Yeah. If it's an after work sort of situation, come on in, grab an adult beverage and a hot dog and flip some pinball.
Yeah.
Any other final thoughts, Corbin?
That's all. Oh, that's all I got.
That's all I've got, too. It's been an awesome season.
It has been.
You know, doing the podcast is a ton of fun for me. So my thanks to everyone that listens and all the cool people that have been sending us their Spotify raps where it shows, you know, that we're one cool. of, it blows it's my true. Mind when I get a message from someone and we're in their top 5 podcasts that they listen to or whatever. So definitely.
There's like 6 podcasts available on Spotify. So that's
whatever it takes to be in the
I'm
top
glad
6,
we can
we'll
be
take
the 7th.
It. Yeah. All right, Kyle, if you want to play us out with some Mad Pinball jingle, when we come back with season 4, we may have a new jingle, so get ready for
other
that.
Options. We'll have options. This is still a classic.
No, this
not
one
gonna,
will,
it's not going to be gone.
It'll never be gone. This one will always be here. But yeah, we might have some other jams that we can mix in. But until next time, until season 4, everybody.